Please turn with me in your copies of God's Word to the book of Exodus. We'll be looking this morning at Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. If you're using the Pew Bible, you can find on page 77. As we begin this morning, I'll read verses 1 through 17 of Exodus chapter 20. Hear now the word of God. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. So ends our reading of God's holy truth this morning. Let us once again bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word that we'll be looking at this morning. And we pray, Lord, that you would, by your Spirit, apply it to our hearts and minds, and that you would, Lord, grant us understanding. And we do pray, Lord, by your Spirit, that you would bless my mind and mouth, that I may think and speak clearly the truth this morning. And in Jesus' holy name, we ask this. Amen. I think it's safe to say that we can all imagine in our minds and see vividly the face of a jealous or envious child, especially one that sees a toy that they really want that another child is playing with. You just see their mind working. They want that. Sometimes they act out and desire to have it and seek to take it. I can remember not long after we arrived here, it was maybe a year or 6 months after we got here, the Ekpo family was over at our house, and Janelle and Ezra were playing, and Janelle was happily playing with one of Ezra's toys. And Ezra saw that toy of his, and he wanted it. But we had told him, no, Janelle is playing with that. So you could see his little mind working, even at that age. And so he saw another toy, and he went over to it and started playing with it. And Janelle, you know, went over to see what Ezra was doing. And as soon as Janelle moved, Ezra immediately tried to jump over and grab the toy she had just left behind. But his body at that time wasn't as mobile as it is now, and so he just kind of flopped on the ground. And Janelle knew what was going on, so she went back to playing with the previous toy. And this is kind of a mild and humorous example of envy and jealousy that we can see in our children. And we all know that there are much harsher examples and much more sometimes violent, aggressive, much more wicked and evil examples of jealousy. I think that often is why we are surprised at times when we come across a verse like verse 5 here in chapter 20 where Moses, or God says to Moses, that you know that the Lord your God is a jealous God. The word jealousy has a lot of negative connotations for us. We have in our that picture in our mind of children at play wanting a toy that is not theirs or somebody else playing with. But we also have a picture in our mind of people doing horrendous and horrible things, all in the name of jealousy. And so in this sense, it's at times surprising for us to see such a word attributed to the Lord our God. That is why this morning we're specifically going to be looking at this phrase in this commandment, for the Lord your God, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, that we find in verse 5 of chapter 20. And the theme that we'll be looking at is that God is jealous for you and for His glory. Again, God is jealous for you and His glory. We'll be looking at this in 3 points. The Lord our God is a jealous God. Our God is jealous for you. And then our God is jealous for His glory. As we begin to look at this first point, the Lord our God is a jealous God, as we have it in chapter 20, verse 5. It's helpful for us to look at and think about briefly what the word jealous means. What does this word actually mean, jealous? Well, Webster's Dictionary gives us a few definitions. Some of them are the following. Jealous is intolerant of rivalry or unfaithfulness, disposed to suspect rivalry or unfaithfulness, hostile to a rival or one believed to enjoy an advantage, vigilant in guarding a possession. These three areas are the main headings of a definition that you find in Webster's Dictionary, the word jealous. So as we think of these definitions, you know, how do they describe God? How does God fit in with these definitions that have been given? How does God fit in to being intolerant of rivalry and faithfulness, to being hostile to a rival and vigilantly guarding a possession? These are aspects of the word jealous that we don't often think about. But we see clearly God display these attributes of jealous, of being jealous, of someone who is jealous. We see throughout Scripture His intolerant attitude or intolerant disposition of any rival, or His intolerance of any act of unfaithfulness. And we see that in these commands here. We're not to have any God before Him. We see that throughout the Old Testament, and even in the New. We are to have no other God. He is not to have a rival. And we are not to be unfaithful. He is hostile, we see, to any rival or one believed to be enjoying an advantage. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 12, here God is going over the Passover and the last plague that He is going to bring against Egypt. One of the things that God says is that He's bringing these judgments, He's executing these judgments on all the gods of Egypt. He is hostile to any rival or one believed to be enjoying an advantage. I think one aspect of jealous that is most precious and wonderful when we think about it in respect to God is this last one, vigilant in guarding a possession. Who is the possession of God? You know, as in the passage of Exodus in 34 that we read, Moses there pleads with God to take His people back as His inheritance. You know, the inheritance of God, God's people are described as the inheritance of God. We are His peculiar possession, as some Westminster standards like to say. We are God's possession. And God is vigilant in guarding His possession. He is jealous. But it's important for us, as we look at this word jealous and how it relates to God, to keep in mind that it is deeper than simply an attitude or a disposition that God has. And we see this in the Exodus 34 passage that we read earlier. In verse 14, there God says, "For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." When I first came across that verse, or the first time I remember coming across this verse when I was probably in high school, the first time it jumped out at me, I was surprised and shocked and amazed. The God, it says of himself, whose name is jealous. Now, as we think about that, we have to remember what a name means. It is much more than what we think of a name today. We don't think of a name denoting really the character or the quality of something in our day and age. But in Scripture especially, and especially when God reveals himself, and he reveals himself by a name, he's not just saying, this is something that you can call me by. He is giving us a description of his character, of who he is at his core. So when he says, whose name is jealous, it means that jealousy is not simply something that can describe God, but at his very core, he is jealous. It is a part of his existence. It is a part of his nature. He is jealous. One way that we can think of this is, I'm sure you all are well aware that when a mother grizzly is around her cubs, you don't go near them. You don't even pretend to go near them. Because a mama grizzly will tear you apart if she thinks her cubs are in danger. There's no good time to go up to a mama grizzly when she's in the midst of her cubs. It's a part of her nature. It's a part of her core. It's what she is. It is built into her. She is to protect those cubs. And any threat that comes by them, she will destroy, rather than take the chance of her cubs being taken from her. That same intensity, that same natural inclination of a grizzly bear, you can apply that and look at that in the nature of jealousy in the being of God. It is a part of who he is. He is jealous. His name is jealous. And I think that illustration fits in really well because we can rightly put ourselves in the place of those little cubs. I mean, as a mama grizzly is jealous for her cubs and for their protection, so too our God is jealous for his people. He's jealous for us, and he is also jealous for his own glory. It's important for us to remember that jealousy is not a reaction that God has to a given situation. God is jealous. His name is jealous. It is a part of his character, a part of his nature as God. Just like if he would cease to be loving, he would cease to be God. If he would cease to be holy, he would cease to be God. So too, if he ceases to be jealous, he ceases to be himself. It is a part of his character. But what is God jealous for? This is the final two points we'll be looking at this morning. I believe Scripture gives us two things that God's jealous nature is directed towards and for. The first being, God is jealous for you. You can turn with me, if you like to the book of Nahum. The book of Nahum, back in the Minor Prophets. And I'll be reading chapter 1 from the book of Nahum. Here's the book of Nahum. This is, Nahum is kind of the opposite of Jonah. Actually, one professor in seminary described Nahum got the calling that Jonah wishes he would have gotten. Nahum gets to go to Nineveh and pronounce destruction against them. But here we have the first chapter of Nahum. An oracle concerning Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum of Elkosh. The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries and keeps wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will by no means clear the guilty. His way is in whirlwind and storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry, and he dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither, and the bloom of Lebanon withers. The mountains quake before him, the hills melt, the earth heaves before him, the world and all who dwell in it. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the heat of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken into pieces by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. But with an overflowing flood, he will make a complete end of the adversaries and will pursue his enemies into darkness. What do you plot against the Lord? He will make a complete end. Trouble will not rise up a second time. For they are like entangled thorns, like drunkards as they drink. They are consumed like stubble fully dried. From you came one who plotted evil against the Lord, a worthless counselor. Thus says the Lord, though they are at full strength and many, they will be cut down and pass away. Though I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no more. And now I will break his yoke from off you and will burst your bonds apart. The Lord has given commandments about you. No more shall your name be perpetuated from the house of your gods. I will cut off the carved image and the metal image. I will make your grave, for you are vile. Behold upon the mountains the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace. Keep your feasts, O Judah, fulfill your vows. For never again shall the worthless pass through you. He is utterly cut off. We see in this chapter an incredible fury and rage in our God, in the Lord. And what is this fury and rage directed to? It is directed towards the city of Nineveh, or the Assyrian kingdom, which at this point in the history of God's people, God had used to bring them into subjection. They were under the bondage of slavery. His rage against this kingdom is for his people, for their mistreatment of his people. And going back to that Mama Grizzly and Cubs illustration, I mean, I pity the poor fool who should try to charge and take the cubs from a Mama Grizzly. And so too, any country or anyone, any enemy of God should be pitied. Because God is vengeful, Nahum describes him. He is jealous. He is in a rage against those who had come between him and his people. So this aspect of God's jealousy is a great comfort to us all. For this characteristic of God, his jealous nature, is not directed at us, but it is for us. He is jealous for us. We've all experienced being in love, or being in love. We all know and understand the jealousy that can stir within us when we see someone trying to entice someone we love away. Or perhaps we just have a crush on someone and they have no clue, but we see them interacting with somebody and we are filled with rage and jealousy. Like, how dare ever go near them or talk to them. And that's just a small scale. Now imagine the eternal God of heaven and earth, the creator and sustainer of all things, who loves his people, who loves his bride. Now imagine the anger and the rage that that eternal heart is filled with when he sees this world trying to take us away, trying to woo us away. And so the judgment that Nahum talks about that is coming against the kingdom of Assyria, the capital city, Nineveh, this is just a small picture of what is yet to come when the final judgment of God is released or unleashed. It won't be just one particular nation, but it will be in the entire world system that is against God. The system of sin and wickedness that is enticing his people away from him. This is what we sang in some of the Psalms this morning. Psalms that talked about the victory that God has over his enemies, the destruction of his enemies. These Psalms point to the final destruction of God's enemies that is yet to come, as we look back at the destruction of his enemies in the Old Testament. This is wonderful for us because despite all of our imperfections, despite our faults, despite our failings day in and day out, God still loves you and he still loves me with this jealous nature. And he is angry when he sees something enticing us away from him. So with every ounce of his eternal being, God is jealous for you and for me. And I hate to be in the shoes of anything that would try to take us away from him. But God is also jealous for his own glory. And we see that especially in this command back in Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 to 6. Psalm 79, verse 7, there the psalmist cries out for salvation, the deliverance from God. And the reason he gives is for the glory of your name. And the prophet Isaiah in chapter 48, verse 11, there God says to Isaiah the prophet, my glory I will not give to another. God will not share his glory. He is jealous for his glory. But glory is one of those words that I think is also helpful for us to kind of look at briefly some definitions of this word glory. Glory is a praise, honor, distinction, worshipful praise, or thanksgiving. Something that secures praise or renown, a distinguishing quality or asset. Great beauty and splendor. A state of great gratification or exaltation. These definitions describe God or something that he is due. He is due our worshipful praise. This is what we are doing here. As we come together as God's people worshiping him, we are glorifying him. We are giving him the worship and the glory that he is due. And that is directly what this commandment is about. The second commandment in verses 4 through 6 has to deal with the worship of God, how we are to worship him. He alone is the one that we are to worship. He is alone the one that we are to glorify. And God is jealous for this glory, for this worship. With the same jealousy as a husband or a wife has for their spouse, God is jealous for the glory that he alone is due. And we, as we come together and worship him as he has prescribed, we are fulfilling this commandment and worshiping God and glorifying him. And so too, like God is jealous for you and for me, he is jealous for his worship. He does not want us to worship anything else. If we recall to mind a few weeks ago when we looked at Tim Keller's book, Counterfeit Gods, which I still highly recommend that book, the gods that can entice us away from him are a wide variety of gods. Our hearts are continually producing gods to take us away from the Lord our God and to take his glory that is due to him alone. God is jealous for his glory. The same rage and the same anger and vengeance that God has for those that would try to take his people away from him, the same jealousy that he has towards his own worship to his own glory. And so with every ounce of his eternal being, God is also jealous for his worship and for his own glory. So, brothers and sisters, the aspect or characteristic of God being a jealous God is something that at times takes us by surprise. We have those images in our minds of jealousy and its ugliness. But the fact is, God describes himself as a jealous God. Not merely describing what he does or how he reacts to things or some quality, but he's describing his very nature. His name is jealous. But I think in the end, this is one of God's truly beautiful attributes. Because when we look at what he is jealous for, he is jealous for you and me, his people. And he is jealous for his glory. And as God is given the glory that he is due, as his name is exalted, as he is lifted up, there can be nothing but blessing expected for his people. God will be exalted, he says. He will be lifted up. He will receive the glory and the worship that he is due. And he will receive it perfectly in that day when he comes in his jealous rage and removes all wickedness that seeks to pull us away from him. God is a jealous God. He is jealous for you. And he is jealous for his glory. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, your attribute and characteristic of jealousy, of being jealous, your name being jealous, is often one that it's not the first thing that comes to mind when we think of your characteristics. But Lord, we are thankful that you are a jealous God. For when we think about your jealousy towards your own glory, Lord, as you are glorified, it is good for your people. Gives great benefit to us spiritually as you are lifted up and glorified. So Lord, as we look at this aspect of jealousy, this characteristic that you possess, part of your nature, who you are, it's truly wonderful and great comfort to us as your people, as you, Lord, vigilantly protect your possession, your people. For how can we fall away, Lord? How can we lose our salvation when every ounce of your eternal being is jealous for us to bring us to yourself? This deals with our sanctification. We will, Lord, be made in the image of Christ. We are being renewed in his image every day. For you, Lord, are jealous for your people. And you seek, Lord, in your vengeful wrath to remove any remaining form of wickedness from us. And we praise you, Lord, for this. And as we go about our ways this morning, pray that we will remember this truth, be comforted by it, and be strengthened and renewed in our pursuit of holiness, knowing, Lord, that you are there fighting before us and destroying all that would take us away from you. We thank you, Lord, for this. In Jesus' holy name we ask this. We pray these things. Amen.